Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Jesus is offering his contemporaries a last chance to turn and trust him, to act on his warnings, in a word, to repent and to embrace the word of the gospel and so escape the fate that otherwise is going to overwhelm them. We read a sentence like, "You will die in your sin." Most of us imagine that it refers only to an inward spiritual condition, a spiritual death that takes place inside the heart and soul, and after death, a physical death, those dying spiritually forever, those who have resolutely turned their back in high treason against the world's rightful king. But in the other Gospels, we see that Jesus' warning also has a more specific reference to events that were taking place in his own day, to the great crisis of devastation that was building up in the Middle East. Echoes of this find their way into John's Gospel as well. In chapter 11, Caiaphas warns the Sanhedrin, if they're not careful, the Romans will come and destroy the holy city altogether. And that is the thread that's hanging over Jesus' contemporaries. And they know it, and he knows it. And so when he warns them that they will die in their sins, he has this danger in mind also. And not only the danger of personal and spiritual condemnation. Simply put, this is a multi-level warning, urging immediate metanoia. Ever since he began his public ministry, he's been pleading that the people and their leadership get on board with this barreling freight train that he's called the kingdom of God, or go down in judgment, since the days of the old covenant were coming to a screeching halt. All the divine promises are now being fulfilled in the Messiah that is himself. You are either for him or against him. And to be against him is the way of death. But Jesus is offering an alternative. If they would believe that he is the Messiah sent by God to rescue Israel and the world, then they would be able to follow him and not plunge into ruin. And he gives them reason to believe, audacious as it may be, saying, "I always do what pleases the Father," verse 29. And they know that neither Adam, nor Moses, nor David, nor especially Israel, nor even they themselves could ever say that. If the Father is always pleased with him, then he, and he alone, and none of their covenantal schemes is the way of life and divine rescue and saving representation. But Jesus already knows that they won't believe. He has seen enough to realize that the Judeans, by and large, are set against any such appeal that he is making. The good news of Jesus isn't the news that they're looking for. The cry to repent is shout down by their war cries. And the result is that Jesus will not be with them very long. And so he tells them that he will go away. And the Judeans rightly deduce that he means he's going to die, and probably soon, with his incendiary kingdom message. But they cannot see how it's going to happen. And Jesus tells them that they themselves will lift up the Son of Man. In other words, that they or their rulers and leaders will bear some responsibility for his execution at the hands of the pagan Romans. And the irony here at last, Jews and Gentiles are in unified partnership. Humanity united in the collaborative condemnation and execution of our Creator God and King. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. There's culpability here. Sin, rebellion, treason, The wages of sin is death, and with death, a fallen humanity wields a power of God. And so it would be through this death of Messiah Jesus that God will explode and reverse the divine-like power put into our sinful hands. From this death will now come life. From this condemnation, justification. From this treason, pardon. From this sacrilege, sanctification. From our imperfection is revealed the divine perfection. And among those who never please the Father is imputed the righteousness of him who always pleases the Father. It's fashionable today to think of Jesus' teaching in the friendliest fashion. People generally want to listen and to learn from the moralizing man from Galilee, always polite, perhaps misunderstood, but politically correct and socially sensitive. You know, Christ the child, meek and mild, domesticated and docile. But this passage indicates that life was seldom, if ever, like that for Jesus' public career. There was little time, especially in Jerusalem, for leisurely teaching, for pondering timeless truths. Things were urgent. The chief priests and the Pharisees and those who followed them were either going to listen to Jesus and live, or they would be destroyed. The city literally razed to the ground, the people thoroughly purged by the Romans. Things were urgent then. Jesus increasingly realized the people weren't going to listen. They were hell-bent on revolution and therefore hell-bent on hell itself. And despite the fact that they could call themselves God's people, they were from below. They were of the world and its prevailing underworld ideologies. And this is the tragedy at the heart of the story of Jesus. And like everything else, it reaches its climax, its height, on the cross of Golgotha. When Jesus is lifted up, then and only then do things become clear. This is how the God of Israel is known and how he will be known. This is how he reigns. There's an alternative reign to be ruled. There's an alternative way to be ruled to the way of man and his kingdoms of death. There's the way to be ruled by Christ, the one who rules by grace, mercy, truth, peace, and love, by his being the Passover and the scapegoat for humanity, a humanity reborn from above. And it took this extreme and necessary measure to redeem us from a kingdom of darkness, and this is how urgent it is. And things are no different today. Things are urgent now. And the remedy remains the same. Christ Jesus is lifted up for your salvation. He is your Passover. For it is Jesus's life, crucifixion, and resurrection that always pleases the Father. And you, through holy baptism, are united to him, and therefore his death and resurrection. Therefore, what is true of the Messiah is now true of those who are in Christ Jesus. Behold, then, his beloved sons, his beloved daughters, with whom he is now pleased. Praise be to Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.